From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The Apostle John wrote three short epistles, the first of which forms the last of the general epistles. Second and third John are short letters which serve to illustrate the main argument of the first epistle, although they each have their own particular emphasis. Consequently, Dr. Cairns will deal with all three books in a single message. First John is mainly concerned with tests of true Christianity and ways that believers in Jesus Christ may be assured of their salvation. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to introduce this message called Christian Profession, Tested and Proved. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Law in the Heart. The text is Psalm 37 and verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Put the law into the heart, and the whole man is right. This is where the law should be. For then it lies, like the tables of stone in the ark, in the place appointed for it. In the head it puzzles. On the back it burdens. In the heart it upholds. What a choice word is here used, the law of his God. When we know the Lord as our own God, his law becomes liberty to us. God with us in covenant makes us eager to obey his will and walk in his commands. Is the precept my Father's precept? Then I delight in it. We are here guaranteed that obedient-hearted man shall be sustained in every step that he takes. He will do that which is right, and he shall therefore do that which is wise. Holy action is always the most prudent, though it may not at the time seem to be so. We are moving along the great high road of God's providence and grace when we keep to the way of his law. The word of God has never misled a single soul yet. Its plain directions to walk humbly, justly, lovingly, and in the fear of the Lord are as much words of wisdom to make our way prosperous as rules of holiness to keep our garments clean. He walks surely who walks righteously.
Soldiers fierce to play, thy
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
We're turning this morning to read in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're coming near the end of the New Testament now as we take one overview of each of the books to try to understand what the main theme, the overriding message of each book is. We're going to lump the three epistles of John together. The last two epistles are very brief chapters, and they seem to most commentators, and I agree, to illustrate the main theme of the first epistle, so that while we could take a separate week at each of those, I choose, I think, rather to see them in the context of what we read in the first epistle. So we read together chapter 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. It's always very difficult to get a text that sums up an entire book. I think, however, that verse 5 through verse 7 of the passage we have been reading comes as near as any passage in the entire epistles of John to summing up the great burden of the apostle's heart as he writes these words. Here he actually says, this is the message. So I think we can conclude with a fair degree of certainty. This is the message. This is the heart of the great word of the Apostle John in these epistles. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth or keeps on cleansing us from all sin. As you read the epistles of John and compare them with the gospel that he wrote, you'll discover that John had the same purpose in writing the epistles as he had the gospels. The gospel in John 20, verse 31, we read that his great purpose was that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. When he writes his epistle, he gives his purpose in writing in seven different places. But the sevenfold purpose is actually the very same as the purpose in writing the gospel. In chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So obviously, the apostle, writing now near the end of his life, writing to the churches who had known his gospel, felt that there was a tremendous and urgent need to reinforce the faith of those who had already come to Christ, to guard them against every device of the devil, every deception of darkness that would seek to lead them astray. The situation that the apostle was addressing was simply that, as he says in 2 John and verse 7, that many deceivers had arisen in the world, and they had arisen also in the church. In that same verse, verse 7 of 2 John, he says, these deceivers were antichrists. That's a theme that he brings largely to the fore in his first epistle. In fact, you could well say that if you were to look at a structural outline of the first epistle, it would be what is sometimes called an introversion. I prefer that word to the more technical term, so we'll stick with that. In other words, if you were to set down the A, B, C's of the main points, you would find they were forming a V, A, B, C, C, B, A. That's what we call an introversion. As I say, there's a much more technical term that we'll not bother you with this morning. The introversion is somewhat mixed with the idea of alternation. Let me give you what I mean. The first part of the epistle up to 2 verse 17 speaks of Christ. Then chapter 2, the rest of that chapter speaks of Antichrist. Then chapter 3 speaks of love. Chapter 4 speaks of Antichrist. The first 6 verses, the rest of the chapter speak of love. And then the great last chapter speaks of Christ. Now, don't get too mixed up with the structure if you can't get the picture of it in your mind. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that there is a great deal of emphasis and going to and fro between the theme of Christ and the theme of Antichrist. You see, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, the apostle says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist," or literally that the Antichrist, "shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us." So here he is addressing this awful situation where antichrists had arisen in the church. People who had been nurtured in the bosom of the church. People who had been accepted as members of the church. They were manifested, they were revealed as being enemies of Christ, despisers of the doctrine, betrayers, just as truly as Judas. And they rose up as deceivers. They didn't go out of the church in the sense that they left it alone. They went out of the church in the sense that they jettisoned its doctrine. But they still sought to subvert the members of the Church of Jesus Christ by their deceptions. Now, these deceivers made very loud professions of knowledge. You'll find this is something that's largely to the fore in these epistles. This is one of the early manifestations of what came to be known as the Gnostic heresy. These people emphasized their superior knowledge, a knowledge far outstripping what ordinary Christians attained to. They had superior experiences. They were not living on the low level of the ordinary receiver of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made loud professions, and they packaged their professions, their heresy, in grand philosophical terms. And so the apostle, in writing these epistles, set out to expound the truth and to expose their error. Therefore, we'll not be surprised to find that these epistles are full of stark contrasts. The apostle does not mince words. He is not using fine language. He is not seeking to keep the friendship of these people. The contrasts are stark. He speaks of Christ and Antichrist. He speaks of God and of the world, of light and of darkness, of truth and of the lie, of righteousness and of sin, of life and of death, of love and of hatred. He speaks of those who believe and those who believe not. He speaks of those who confess Christ and those who deny Christ. He calls the one the children of God. He calls the others the children of the devil. He speaks of those who have confidence before Christ in His coming. He speaks of others who will have shame before Christ in His coming. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the righteous one, the head of the whole family of God in heaven. He speaks of Satan as the wicked one, with the whole world in his hand. I suppose the contrast is ultimately stated in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. In fact, it's put twice here. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, I would to God we had time just to pursue the idea of these contrasts, these great antithetical statements that the apostle is making. You see, we live in a day of false love, false ecumenism, and false unity. We live in a day when men want to think that compliance and expedience are the marks of true Christianity. Nothing could be further from the truth. Man must be one thing or the other. And however much it goes against the grain of modern thinking, when anything approaching a clear-cut stand for God is frowned upon, when everything is held to be uncertain, however much it goes against the grain of that type of thinking, these epistles call us, they challenge us, to apply the truth of God and the righteousness of God to every situation. The Word of God here calls us to be either for Christ or to declare ourselves honestly against Him. The Word of God takes off the wraps and the covers. It exposes the lie. It exposes the darkness. It exposes the Antichrist, even though they are harbored in the church. And it calls God's people. This is one of John's great purposes in these epistles. It calls God's people to a thoroughgoing separation. A separation from those who are doctrinally in heresy. A separation from the system of the Antichrist. A separation from the worldliness that goes along with false doctrine. We'll see that the epistle has a lot to say about that. This then is the purpose of the writer, setting out by way of stark contrast the competing forces of light and darkness, of God and of the devil, of Christ and of Antichrist, of truth and of the lie. He calls us to separation and a repudiation of any fellowship of any kind with the deceptions of the Antichrist.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.